Chapter 13. Hypothermia. Hypothermia is low body heat, and it could be argued that it is more of a condition than a disease. It is true that occasionally low body heat is medically induced in order to carry out heart surgery. In such cases, it is controlled and therefore usually without danger. When it arises from other causes and is uncontrolled, people become ill and may sometimes die. So whether this kind of hypothermia is called a condition or a disease, the results can be very serious. The causes are undernutrition, living regularly in a cold atmosphere without sufficient bed coverings and personal clothing, lack of exercise. In good health, the normal body temperature is 98.4 degrees Fahrenheit. The average clinical thermometer does not register temperatures below 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and hypothermia becomes serious at 90 degrees Fahrenheit and under. At this stage, the symptoms are a slow pulse rate, low blood pressure, the complexion is pale, and may even be cyanosed. As the condition worsens, the patient becomes more and more lethargic. There is almost total apathy towards those things which before were conspicuously of interest. The alleviation of hunger, pain, or discomfort provokes no response. As the temperature falls, the consciousness is disturbed. The mental reflexes are dulled, and at last become comatose. If there is no help available, the coma moves into that level of unconsciousness from which there is no awakening. Hypothermia rarely troubles the young, because normally they are well-fed, mobile, active, have a sound circulatory system, and hardly ever meet those circumstances which make for low body heat. Love waxed cold. The spiritual counterpart of this condition is real enough, and should be regarded very seriously. Jesus said it would be a peculiar feature of the latter days. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Soul hypothermia does not happen overnight. It begins slightly with the first cooling of the passion, the first lingering doubt about the triumph of Christ in his kingdom, the first nagging fear that sin may be invincible, the first willingness to let the secular displace the sacred, the first satisfaction with the second best, the first careless indifference to another man's need. Very often, the Bible class is the first to suffer from incipient hypothermia. Members may be absent for diverse and genuine reasons, but sometimes it is because that warm relish for the Word of God has cooled. Sooner or later, those so affected lightly and regularly miss the appointed hour for the study of the Bible and the joy of fellowship around its pages, without being troubled. As the passion weakens, so the soul loses its sensitivity. As the temperature drops, so the heart is dried up. Warmth tends to growth. Heat makes energy. Cold leads to lethargy. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. The arms, once strong and resolute, become weak and unstable. Thorns come up instead of roses. The face is a mask, and pious phrases a cloak. Inwardly the spirit is chilled. Love is waxing cold. Love of God, love of his word, love of his children. Soul hypothermia is one of the opposing forces of healthy ecclesial life. It entices members onto the perimeter, and the central things of the meeting are bypassed. Special efforts cease to be special, and the effort is dilatory. Those who once went hot foot on the defense of the truth too easily get cold feet. Burning zeal becomes smoldering ember. The river of life seems more like a glacier. Ardor gives way to apathy, fervor to frigidity. Even the prayers are cool, decorous and formal, and the business is done in cold blood. The springs of grace become frozen, and the spirit of sympathy is benumbed. Other men's woes provoke little response, and spiritual reflexes are palsied. The marrow is chilled. The soul is like marble. 12 months of winter each year. Lukewarmness. The Lord hates hypothermia. Some of his strongest words were spoken against it. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. Cold and hot in this context describe conditions which are honest and clearly identifiable, with no attempt at guile. That is why the Lord gives them preference. The Laodicean condition was a mask, a pretense, a sham. They claimed to be in good health, spiritually rich and replete in every sense, lacking nothing. It was all a parody. The health was sickness. The riches were burnt out ashes. The passion had flickered away. They were lukewarm and getting colder, the victims of hypothermia. One of the saddest things about this condition is that sometimes its causes are circumstantial. Warm men get cold by being in a cold atmosphere. With poor nutrition and no real spiritual exercise, too easily a disciple becomes shrunken and forlorn, a prey to infrigidation. The causes mark the remedy. One of the profoundest things the Bible says about its author is that God is fire. The dictionary says that fire is the evolution of light and heat by combustion. God is light, illumination. God is love, heat, passion. Combine the two and there is fire. Sometimes consuming, sometimes warming and purifying. The remedy, therefore, is to get close to God and be warmed. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Be nourished by his word. Be exercised in godliness. Shed the self-made narrow bed coverings, which give no real protection, and against which Isaiah utters a solemn warning in chapter 28. Seek to recapture the first love. Throw back the frontiers of frigidity, and be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Grace is like a warm spring flowing out over all the life of a man. As the temperature rises, the old fire is rekindled, the embers are fanned into flame, and the heart burns again. The pulse rate increases, and energy returns. Across the barren landscape, spring has come, and the sound of the turtle dove is heard in the land.